end of the beginning, what it really means is the end of the Old Testament walking by the law of spiritual death. Walking spiritually dead. Does that mean that you can't talk about it or work with it or watch it? No. Be very careful, because the devil wants you to consume it, live in it, believe it, walk it, use it. Why? You're giving him full authority over your head. Full authority over your head. That does not mean you not use the principles that are there, because the law will never be taken away. It has only been fulfilled. You can walk in the unfulfillment of the law or the fulfillment of the law. As I'm saying, I'm talking right now from the Holy Ghost, because I am not having any of this down in my notes. God wants to put something in his people that'll change the world. I'm not talking about just doing a little praying here, a little bit there. I'm talking about commanding and making things happen. Ooh, shida bakayate. I'm waiting for my children to rise up, saith the Father. I am ready. I am willing. I am ready to move. That's why. It's overtaken by the Lord. Thank you, Father. God is setting something up. It is so spectacular. He's ready for people who are willing to move in the way that he's designed. I don't want to get my flesh in the way today. I only want the Holy Spirit to move. But the New Testament, with spiritual life in Christ, restoring us back to the place that we need to be because of the sin of Adam, is being removed and gone. See, I've been teaching on our covenant right and privileges. The average child of God do not understand, or does not understand, their rights and their privileges. It took me a long time to understand my rights and my privileges. If you don't understand your rights and your privileges, you need to really take time, stop what you're doing, and find out what they are. If you need help, let me know. We'll work with you. Because your rights and your privileges are what you're going to achieve in your life, how you're going to achieve it, and how the Holy Spirit can allow things to change in your life that you want changed. Because a lot of times, if you don't understand your rights and privileges, you won't receive them. The average person gives more rights and privileges to Satan than to God. The average person. Even those who are saved, because they don't know their rights and their privileges. Anytime you stand up and you say, I'm going to have a bad day, or it looks like it's going to be a bad day, you just said, take all the rights and have all the bad stuff coming my way. Enjoy yourself. I'm giving you the right to make me miserable today. It's that simple. That simple. When it starts to happen, like I did today, my computer is having some difficulties, or if I'm not understanding one or the other, and I'm trying to get things done, and I emailed my teaching to Sarah last night, it didn't come through. I emailed it to me, and it didn't come through. And I have a thumb drive that I knew I might have problems with it, so I put everything down on my thumb drive, and I forgot it left at home. So this morning I was in there trying to put it back in place. At least I know what I was talking about, or I wouldn't even had that. It's just an outline, which I'm not using right now. Every time I touch one of my crutches here, would they fall on the floor? I mean, it was just one thing right after the next. Washcloths fall on the floor. I mean, it just, it's just like, this is crazy. This can't be working right. Things would just weren't coming together. And I was thinking about that. The enemy wanted to get upset and give him a legal right. He wanted me to get upset. When you get upset, you got a legal right to the devil to destroy you. When you complain, when you murmur, you give the legal right to the enemy to come in and destroy what's going on. When you don't see through God's eyes situations, you see through your eyes, you open the door for the enemy. You're giving legal right to the devil. We don't realize sometimes how much legal right we have given to the devil. That's why I've been teaching on that. And you might say, well, I thought it was a foundation. Without a good, strong, biblical foundation of anything that you build on, you will be released. Every time you build something, that it falls down. I'm not saying everything you're building is going to fall down, but if it doesn't have a good, solid foundation, eventually it will buckle under the pressure. That's why I've talked about so many ministries. They're doing great and magnificent work, and all of a sudden, boom, they fall apart. I should have fell apart a long time ago, as bad as I've been, as much problem as I've had. The harder things I've gone through, the things I've messed up, should have been gone. But the thing is, my foundation is strong. So today, I wasn't going to say anything about this, but in the presence earlier, the Lord said, put up what happened. And I says, I don't want to. That's why I got so overwhelmed by the Lord, because I don't want any glory to me. As much trouble as I had trying to get out of the house to come here, then we got here, tried to get this going. We got in the car, and immediately I seen angels on both sides of the road all the way down Hickman to 104th Street, up there, all the way over and in here. There's angels all over this place. There's an anointing on that one. Why? Because God wants you to understand the truth. He wants you to learn your rights and privileges. And I said, Lord, why would you have angels for me? I'm just nothing more than driving to church to say something. But there's a point there that I have been strong enough to withstand all the evil that has come my way, everything that's tried to shut me down, everything that's been trying to happen. I've been standing. It's not easy to stand. I talk to people once in a while and say, oh man, it's so hard. It's not hard if you've got a good foundation and you're locked in with the Lord. That's what it's about. The more you lock in with the Lord, the less harder it is. Not easy. I didn't say it was easy. It's not hard. When I understand the truth, the biblical foundational truth, and that's the very beginning, and that's what most of the body of Christ is missing. And they put pressure in an area that they don't have the foundation on, and it'll just crash down. Many ministries have gone because of it. Like I said, I always put out what I see sometimes, and I think, man, I shouldn't have done that. That's why I was not going to say anything about the angels today. I was just going to go on down the road. But then when I got in the spirit and the Lord says, tell them why they were there and why what's happening. How important are you to God? How important are you to God? This is what I'm hearing right now. You might not know how important you are to God. You're so important, the devil will give you problems. He will agitate you. He will cause you problems. The difference is, are you going to allow them to have the legal rights, or are you going to back down and thank God for what he's doing? That's the season that we're living in. See, when I was talking about your rights and privileges, the covenant rights and privileges. So the Old Testament means covenant. The New Testament means covenant. New covenant, old covenant. That's why I played that song last week. That's why I played it again today. Because, see, we intermingled so much of it. Religion wants you to keep mixed up, mess you up so that you can't really receive all of your rights and privileges. You only can find out by what the Holy Spirit wants. There's things that you'll need to understand from the Old Testament, but mostly you need to be walking in the blood covenant. Blood covenant. What does the blood covenant do? It puts a cloak of blood over you all the time. I was amazed when I went down here that one time and I ran across, and I'm jumping all over, Sarah, because I don't know what I'm doing here. It's Romans 3, Romans 3, 23 through 26. And I'm using it from the New Living Testament, the early version. And it says, for all have sinned and all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet now God in his glorious kindness declares us not guilty. How can you be declared not guilty? He has done this through Jesus Christ, who has freed us by taking away our sins. God never looks at your sin. You are covered with a cloak of blood. If you realize that, if you're walking in the covenant, you're walking in a cloak of blood. You got a cloak, it's just the blood. If you can see in the spiritual realm, you have this blood covering over you. Not gory, not red and dripping, it's just a blood covenant that God has made through his son Jesus Christ. Why? What was sin doing? It separates us from God. Old covenant separates us from God. We must pray and try to activate God, please him in such a way that he will come down and do something for us. We try to move the hand of God. Old Testament, old covenant. The devil loves to keep you in the old covenant so he can legally stay between you and God. That's what the Old Testament was. The law, so that when you obey the old law, not by love, not by the Spirit, you are not anointed in the Old Testament. You're spiritually dead because the Spirit's left you. So the only way you have a law and you have to be obedient to come over and try to please the Lord by being obedient to the law, and he will hear you. That's why I go back, 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people will humble, seek, pray, turn from their evil ways, then I will heal their land and forgive their sins. Are you saying you're still walking in sins? Are you denying the blood covenant that you have had through your son, through Jesus Christ, through your brother or your Savior? That's what you're doing. But we don't understand it because we don't know our rights and our privileges. But if you're sitting here and all of a sudden you sin and you say, I'm miserable or rotten, God can't love me, I'm guilty of everything that I did, which you are because you did it, immediately you just stole your legal rights to being set free by the blood of Jesus. You've stolen what Jesus did on the cross. You gave it up. You feel bad because you don't know your legal rights. Because the first part of that says we all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. When I first started hearing, as I was learning, Joyce Myers had said, when I started growing, I knew I was forgiven, but I would do a sin sometimes. I could be feeling a couple hours, I could feel like I was good enough, like God would forgive me of it. But then some sins, it took 2 or 3 days before I felt I could be worthy of God's blood. Live from the pits of hell. Because that lie has stolen everything from you. It stole your rights. We all fall short of the glory of God. We had a pastor here, supposedly a pastor, a biker pastor, that got up and said, if you're willfully sinning, now that's a different situation. The Bible also clarified, if you are willfully sinning, then there is no blood over you, covenant, and you're in trouble. You have to understand the truth. But if you're trying to do the best you can and are really seeking the Lord, you sin, all you have to do because of what Jesus did is say, Father, forgive me. Boom, you're forgiven. And when you realize that, you have a heart to not do it again, but you're still flesh. And the devil's going to tempt you, and he's going to make you miserable. And sometimes because of all the situations like today, the everything falling apart, forgetting things, nothing working right, it's like so frustrated. Why do I even try? But the fact is, it doesn't matter. God loves me. Said, God in my spirit, no matter what I do, no matter what happens, God loves me, and he'll never stop loving me, no matter how bad things get. And when I can, he just wants me to come to him and say, I messed up. If you ever have a family, like a father that talked about, you know, just tell me. Or a mother, say, just tell me what you did. Don't lie to me, just tell me. Maybe there's a consequences, but the fact is you say it, and you tell them the truth, and they forgive you, and they love you. They encourage you, lift you up. And it's better than if you sit back and say, oh, no, I didn't do that. Then all of a sudden they find out about it, it gets worse. It's a principle. Tell the Father, yes, I did. Forgive me, Father. Don't let the shame and guilt come upon you, because the shame and guilt is a spirit, and it'll lock you into a place you don't need to be. It'll lock you up tighter than tight. Because then all of a sudden it has legal right over you, and it will use it every single time to cause you problems. And the other strongholds are the same thing. But when you realize, because through Christ, who has freed us by taking away our sins, sin causes division to God. So when you sin immediately, that's why Thurman was talking about the scripture. It says that you fall from grace under the law. Why do you fall under the law? If you're living in sin, it's division. Old Testament is division of God. And you have to go back to the law, humble yourself, Turn from your evil ways, seek his face, be obedient, try to get the hand of God to move, because you got sin between you and him, division. You just lost your rights and privileges because you don't understand the truth. You have to realize, because of God knows that we are going to sin, not that we're supposed to. We're human. We got a fleshly body that pulls us one way and pulls us another. And if you don't have that foundational set up right and understand the truth, that's one of the very first truths. Jesus was the cornerstone. The second rock or stone is what I put in there, and this is part of that. That's the very first stone that you should put on your foundation. And if it's not there, when you sin and you feel bad, boom, that stone wasn't strong enough for you to stand and change and immediately say, Lord, forgive me. I had to do that. I finally got that point to where it got strong enough where I could stand on that foundational block and say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. You know, help me get rid of this stuff, get going, whatever's happening. And I just repent, and immediately it's gone. And see, in 25 it says, for God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against him. That's the second stone that I talked about. Why? If you don't realize how many people that you would talk to feel that God's angry at them, they don't have the stone in their foundation to stand on. First thing is, you sin, so you're rotten, and the shame and guilt comes in. Secondly is, God's so angry at me because I'm a miserable person because they don't know their rights and privileges. Gone. What Jesus did on the cross, the new beginning, it goes back to the old beginning, and the devil's over him, and before long they're trying to get things done, and nothing's happening. Prayers aren't being answered. Why? Because they have to humble themselves and seek the face and turn from their evil ways and act like God, you know, I don't know God. I just have to, I got to, come on, God, move. What are you going to do? I better pray all night. Come on, God, move. Can you hear me, God? I need some help here, God. But when you're walking in the blood covenant, you just have a relationship with God. He says, enter boldly into the throne room and sit with him in heavenly places. How do you do that? He doesn't look at your sin. You've got a blood covenant. Rights and privileges. And we miss them all the time because we're all wrapped up in ourselves. Wrapped up in our own thinkings. Wrapped up in what we want to do, because we don't take the time with God to have a good relationship and let the love of God flow through us. Because the foundation of righteousness has never been perfected in us. That's one of the biggest ones. That'll fall more people into the pits of hell and have failures than anything. That's it. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God was a restoring back to man what was supposed to be. That's the very first part of the foundation. Jesus came. He restored back to us. He removed the sin. He paid our punishment. Now all of a sudden, he's not angry. And we're not guilty. That's the very two blocks I talked about. Then comes unity. Unity is not there. Talked about the one man. That's what we talked about. He made us one man. Oh, no, we're still divided. We're still doing all these stupid things because we're not one person. We're not working the way we're supposed to be. So what's happening is we're dealing with these issues that way. That's why the Lord said, play that again. Get it to the point where we need to end the old and start in the new. If we're not doing in the new, we need to get more in the new. Get more understanding. Get more things that we need to do. Because, you know, when you start to pray, when your sins have been forgiven and God's not angry with you, guess what? The minute you speak, he knows. He hears. You don't have to have an all-night prayer meeting just to be able to get God's hand to move. because he'll move your hand if because he's giving you legal rights. You say, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this. But it's true. I've taught about it. I want you to understand it. It's a revelation. See, and this was in John 19, 28 through 30, going back to the front there, Sarah. Keep you halfway going on the first page. This is what it says. After this, just Jesus knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it on, hold it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. What is finished? Have you ever figured that out? I've been through church, and I'm thinking, when I seen that, it's finished. What really was finished? If you don't know what was finished, if you can't tell me right now, if I sat there, just you and I, and said, what was it when Jesus says, it is finished? What was it? If you don't know, you better get in your Bible and start finding out and asking God exactly what it is, because I ain't going to tell you. You have to get your own revelation of what God says. It is finished. What does finished mean? There's more than one understanding. It's a complete in-depthness of understanding your rights and your privileges according to what he did. There's more to it than just, well, he died, my sins are forgiven. No, there's more than that. A lot more. But religion has dumbed us down so stupid that we don't even understand what Jesus did on the cross. And he keeps us that way by everybody trying to argue with you and get you to the point to where you're not seeing your rights and your privileges. This is how important this teaching is. That's why what the Lord showed me this morning coming here, he is so satisfied and protecting what he wants to have done. Might be boring, might be old, but it's something that God wants to do. There's anointing. It can give you revelation. If you really get serious and ask God, he'll show you much more than you've ever seen before in your life, because the anointing is here. Under the anointing, Jesus taught in the anointing. I'm anointed by God to speak out what he wants me to say, and he will give you the ability to understand it. You don't have to say, well, I don't understand it. Well, then, when you're by yourself, you take what you don't understand, have you write it down, and say, Father, what does this really mean? He's the one. Ask the Holy Ghost. He'll show you. He'll teach you. And all of a sudden, you'll have this, whoo, time, revelation. And you'll know without a doubt what's going on. See, one of the biggest things was, part of that was, Luke 16 through 17, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man pressed into it. Every man pressed into it. How do you press into a kingdom of God teaching? Think about that one. Ask God also on that one. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. You have to figure that one out yourself. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one title of the law to fall. In other words, the law will never fall away. It'll never pass away. It's only being fulfilled. You can walk in the law, or you can walk in the fulfillment of the law. Walk in the law or walk in the fulfillment of the law. How do you walk in the fulfillment of the law? Ask the Father to tell you. You have to understand Scripture, as it said up here. He says, according to the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, I can tell you what, I'm not going to talk about all the scriptures being fulfilled when Jesus died. You know, the Messiah is going to come. You know, he's going to be, by the stripes he's healed. you know, by his stripes you're healed. He says, the thing is, when you take around, and there's just so many of them back in the Old Testament from the prophetics that will come up. You'll be thinking all about all these different scriptures. Write them down sometime. Put them all in one place and see what you think. Again, I could put all those down. I didn't. Didn't have the time to go through all that stuff, but it can happen. I'm just saying I'm not just using this one, but I'm using this one for today because I'm in the New Testament. I know about the Old Testament. I know about all the other ones going on there. It says you have to understand. You have to understand the Scripture. Why? Because it says that it accomplished what the Scripture might be fulfilled, what Jesus did. Okay? And I put down Ephesians 1:4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Didn't I already say that? Jesus took care of the sin, so now we're not guilty. We're never guilty. We sin. We all fall short, but that blood's always covering us. That's why there's a teaching out there. You got to be very, very careful. A teaching out there is, because the sin is forgiven and you're walking in that covenant of the blood covenant and you're always been forgiven. Every sin from the beginning to the end has been washed by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to ask for forgiveness anymore. That's the teaching out there. But that's not what John says. John says we have a great high priest that when you sin, you need to go to him and ask him to forgive you. I don't want to be in these people's shoes when they get there and never ask for their sins anymore. I'm not going to teach you that. I want you to understand that it's out there. Be very careful. Why? Because it makes sense if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Everything has to be rightfully divided by the Holy Spirit because he's the one that wrote it. And you can, things look so good sometimes that it's wrong because it's not interpreted by the Holy Spirit. That's why I always ask the Holy Spirit, is this true or that's true or what's going on? But I just want you to know it's out there. So, but he made it so that, you know, holy and without fault in his eyes. In his eyes. Didn't say you are. In his eyes, he sees the blood of Jesus and you're holy without fault. If it wasn't for that, you would be in problem. You would be in the old covenant again. Okay, just so you understand, I want you to totally clear that. God decided to advance, in advance, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and gives him great pleasure. So what he did was, Jesus sent his son, God sent his son Jesus, the Word of God, to die on the cross for the final blood sacrifice and atonement of our sins. Now, what does sins do? Separate us from God. So many people today, we were Christians, are separated from God. Still today. Because they don't understand. That's what it's all about. I've got another scripture here. I want to go down to the very last, which is 1 John 3:9. If you want to go here to 3:9, and we hit the last part of it. It says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. I want to clarify this because last Wednesday this came up. It's something I said last week. It's stated in the Old Testament. I forget the actual scripture at the present time that was brought up. But it said that, I in this body. And they're referring to their soul and the body. In the Old Testament, that's right. There was no spirit in them. They were only two, soul and body. Soul and body. Today we're spirit, soul, and body. Difference between the old and the new covenant. Because we were spiritually dead simply because of the sin. if you get a revelation of that. And they were saying, because, you know, the scripture was talking about, you know, I in this body. And that's what they were using when I talked about this scripture. Because, again, if you understand one way, it can hinder the truth of the other. And I'll just leave that at that one. But it says that those who have been born into God's family did not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them, and they cannot keep on sinning because there are children of God. That's the New Living Testament. What actually happened is there's a residue inside you. How do you become part of the family of God? You ask Jesus into your life. You become born again. Have you ever looked up born again in a concordance to find out what it means? I've said it many times. But born again means, born means from, again means above. Born again means from above. What came from above? The same thing that left Adam that went back up. The Holy Spirit. When he sinned, the Holy Spirit went up. That's why it says you've got to be born again. How are you going to be born again? That's why Nicodemus says, how can I enter the woman's womb, in my mother's womb? He says, what is of flesh is flesh, whatever is spirit is spirit. In other words, when you ask Jesus Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit comes down into your soul. And you become born again. You are a new creation. I'm going to jump over some other things there again, sir, because the time is getting away. This, again, is definitely from the Lord. In fact, I'm not even sure where I've got it in here. It's down towards the end. And I'm just going to speak it. Go with the Holy Ghost right now. The biggest problems to your right and privileges, or understanding your rights and your privileges, is not knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. It's the biggest problem. And that problem is this. You have never understood you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. And if you already know this and understand this, this is awesome. But you better be able to understand enough to where you can teach others. Because there's a lot of people coming that don't know this stuff. And they might not sit in a teaching like this. You might be the one that has to explain it to them. Can you explain this? How did you become a new creation, new creature? What made a difference when you became born again? The Spirit of God came down in you. You know what the Spirit of God is? The presence of God. The very presence, spiritual presence of God came down. I've said this once before, but I was sitting in my office. And as I was sitting in my office, I said, Lord, it's great that I can pray for people and get things changed. I have prayers, people call and we pray, and great things are happening. That's fantastic. And he says, it's like this. I can speak to somebody. They can take my word and speak it, and I can achieve things. He says you can have somebody call, and I go from the spiritual into the physical. I was a mechanic. Used to work on tractors, cars, machines, all kinds of things, fixed a refrigerator, washer, dryer, all that good stuff. Other people have done that, electrical, all that stuff. And if I had information or wisdom on the on a washer and dryer, and somebody called and said they need help on this washer and dryer, I could speak to them, tell them exactly what they need to do to get that to be what? Fixed. Because, see, I'm sitting in my office, I'm on the phone, I'm talking to them. It's the same thing as the Word of God there doing what the Word of God wants, you know, is going to do. It's anointed. It will not return void if you put it out. He says, but if you were there in person, you could immediately fix it themselves for them. You could do the work. He says, that's the difference between just using my word or walking in my anointing. Walking in the present, because when you ask Jesus into my life, I come into you and my presence is there. It is the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. It is the anointing power of Christ. I talked about this last week. I said, what did the word talk about? Jesus said he was anointed to preach. He was anointed to heal. He was anointing to teach. Until you get to know who you are in Christ, you're not going to walk in that anointing the way you need to walk in it. You're just going to have a little bits and pieces. The Lord came to me one time. He told me back in 2002, I'm putting you in as an apostle. I says, oh. So I looked up what the apostle was. I had no clue. Nobody ever told me much. I didn't have anything that told me what was an apostle. He came back to me and he says, are you going to take it? I says, I ain't going to take it until you tell me exactly what it is, because I can't tell you what it is, and I'm not going to do it if I don't know. And immediately for 2002, he showed me, he sent a big thick thing of cassette tapes. I didn't ask for it. It just shows up on my door. That's God. Every meeting I went to talked about the fivefold ministry and what their purposes, plans, and everything else was. And I'm thinking, I'm starting to understand. 2003 came by, or the end of 2002. He says, now, are you going to take and be in the apostle? I says, yeah, I'm still getting ready and everything else. Well, he came back about a week later, and he says, are you ready now? He says, you are using part of the gift of the apostle, but you're not stepping into that position. And if you don't step into the position, I'm going to take that away from you. I said, oh, that's happened once before. He told me to start this ministry. It's in our home. I started it up. There was one lady that was coming. And we were trying to get other people to start to come. She went to a monastery to pray for a week. She calls me at the end of the week and says, I'm not coming back because this voice told me not to come back. First thing I said, is this, she listened to the right voice? God wanted me to start this thing up, and we were doing good until you went to this monastery. It just blew me away, and I says, God, I can't do it. I told him all before, I can't do it. Can't remember names. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not capable. I've learned all these things you told me. You send me somebody and I'll teach them and they'll make this thing work great. Other times down the road, I've even said, Father, if I could let this person take over, they'll run this thing great and they'll make it perfect. And he says, no, because if they run it, it'll be them and not me. I said, oh. So he's kept me in this position because it's not anybody else but him, because I won't let anybody else but him run this place. And that just made some people mad, and I don't like making people mad. Some things have happened that I probably should have done that I didn't do because I don't have the skills to do it, or I'm growing, I'm changing in those issues. But the fact is, God knows what he's doing, I figured. oh boy, I messed up, but it's still, if this is what you want, I'll give it to somebody, let somebody else do it better than I can. He never did. I said, okay, Lord. But see, it's all about understanding and wanting to do what God wants to do. And anyway, when she said that, I said, I'm giving it away. I'm not going to do it anymore. 6 months, I lost everything. I could not hear, see, understand, feel. Everything that I was doing in the spirit, gone. You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to have it. I said, oh, my goodness. I started getting on my knees and start crying out to God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I'll do it. It took me about 2 weeks of just doing that before I start to feel something. You don't want to use it. He'll take it away from you. That's entirely. I mean, he's serious. We aren't serious sometimes. We just sit back and do our own thing. Don't care about this. Don't care about that. He does. So, praise the Lord. I mean, I says, okay, Lord. I don't want to lose it. So I'll do it. I didn't do it very well for a while, but I kept doing it. And then he told me to start this place. So we started it, and that's what I'm saying. We could only get one person coming, and then she tells me, no, some voice told her not to come. Didn't say God. She just said this voice in prayer said it's not to come. We finally got one lady, Dixie, and we stayed with Dixie until finally we got a few more in there, and she left, and we just kept going. It's not always easy, but you got to know who you are. You got to know, are you so convinced that God wants you where you're at, that you're willing to continue to change and do what you're supposed to do according to his will? You're anointed. And this is what it comes down to. You have to know who you are. You have to understand, and this is the body of Christ, does not have very much of this in them, is that they are a new creation. If you realize you're a new creation, yes, you're going to, you know, we always fall short of the glory of God and sin. But in a new creation, I'm not guilty. In a new creation, God's not angry at me. He might not like what I'm doing, but he's not angry at me. He'll work with me. Doesn't mean there's some punishment once in a while that comes along. He'll let you flounder and fall. But I'm just saying, know who you are in Christ. Know that you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Know that there is a residue in you. It's the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is you. Yes, it's God. It depends on whether you want to become more walking by faith or walking by sight. You have an option, because the flesh always wars against the spirit, but you are not a sin nature. You have no sin nature. Your flesh is sinful, and it has a nature to go sinfully, but you have been washed totally clean. You are not a sin nature. You have no sin nature. You have God's nature. Everything is God's nature. But if you do not see it, you do not understand it, you will not walk that way. And that's where the average person is. And that's what the Lord said with this whole thing about understanding your covenant right and privilege. It's a big difference. Your New Testament covenant right and privileges. When you understand that, when you know that you are sovereign, that God has given you blessings. As Daniel Martin was here one time, and he was talking about heaven, and he said, he's seen this mountain, and it's like doors that go up. He says, people would pray, and the angels would go to their storehouse. That was your storehouse. It was set up before you were even created. God created a storehouse for you, all your needs, all your abilities. And what happens because you don't know who you are and you don't walk the way you're supposed to and your foundation isn't set up, especially when it comes to righteousness? Because, you know, the scripture says I've never seen a righteous man forsaken or a seed begging bread. You want to judge what's going on in your life? What does that say? You can let the word judge you. Judge yourself, lest you be judged. But the reality is, righteousness usually isn't get perfected. I'm still working on some of those areas. One of mine is self-control. That's terrible. I like to eat a lot of food. When I start eating, I can't stop. It's bad. Oof. Horrible. But that's an area that I got to work in. There's things I'm still working on, but I'm getting better. So praise the Lord. I'm just saying. But the thing is, this is what the Lord wants you to know today. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. You do not have a sin nature. You do not have to sin. Why? Because the more you stay with the Spirit, which is you, and that's what I was talking about on a Wednesday. It was brought up and it sounded like, you know, they weren't understanding what I was saying. Since you asked Jesus Christ in your life and you're a new creation, it's not just your soul, it's the Holy Spirit. And the more you go to the Holy Spirit, the less you walk in the soul realm and the hurt and the pain and all the stuff that way. So praise the Lord. The less you get to the Holy Spirit, the more you act out. The more you give the rights to the devil to have more problems, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Anything being killed, stolen, and destroyed in your life? The other one I'll say real quick, I've said it before. I heard a man that was over in a foreign country, and he said there was a spiritualist there, and then that spiritualist he would call demons, say, I want this, want that, and they would send, and a week later they come back and nobody wanted it, so he'd go buy it for about nothing. He's seen a house one time, so he sent them over there, and they came back in a week and said, we can't get it. Give us another week. So he sent them back over there, and he came back, and they said, we can't get it. He says, why? There's a wall of fire around that house. Guy, they went to find out what's going on. He says, I got more power than you do. So he went over there, and he said, you know, come to find out it was a born-again, spirit-filled evangelist. And the thing he'd been doing is praying a hedge of protection around his house. He was literally putting up a spiritual fire around his house so the demons couldn't get in. Are you praying a protection around your house, around your possessions, around yourself? That'll do it. Secondly, I turned around and I'd seen that God is the, you know, the lion wanders around trying to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the enemy of the devil. And I said, And I was thinking about the prophet where they had the Philistine army, and what happened? The angels came down and blinded their eyes. And he told them, follow me, and they followed him into the enemy camp, their enemy camp, his camp. And I said, two witnesses, Father. Your Bible says two witnesses. So I started looking through the Bible. One day I ran across Lot. Got in there, and all of a sudden I said, the angels came. I was reading it, and the angels came, and what did they do? They blinded the eyes that wanted to come and have sex with them. So what happened was, what's happening? These people are standing by the door and cannot see the door. Why? Their eyes are blinded. The army's eyes are blind. That's two witnesses. So I now say, Father, blind the eyes of those that come to kill, steal, and destroy. Talk about authority and a power. And when you leave something and you put that over and you walk with the foundation knowing God honored what you said because you were a new person. I says, I took and I also learned, it was a story that I forgot about till just now. We had a guy down in Oskaloosa, Iowa that was a carpenter. And he was working on a house down the road from us. And one day I was driving down the road, and I happened to look back, and there was a porch that he was working on this project. And there was a walkway, you know, that's just like had the sides on the porch that were covered. And then there was an opening to go into the door. And as I was looking back, I could see right around those, the sides of the porch, wood, saws, and all of his stuff was laying on the porch behind that wall. And I, that's not safe. That's horrible. So I talked to him. I says, I seen all that stuff laying there. Aren't you afraid it's going to get it stolen? Only one time have I ever had it stolen, and I didn't put my angels around it. It works. He never took it off. He always left it somewhere, not out in the open, but somewhere behind something, and then he would put his angels over it to protect them so nobody would steal it. Only one time was when they didn't. We've got rights and privileges. You need to know what they are and start walking in them, because there are great things. Remember, when you're dealing with another person, they also have rights and privileges, and they're sovereign. You cannot come against them. That's why Adam was given the authority over all the things, but never over a person, because they're sovereign. So you can bind every demonic spirit. You can break it down. You can release the Holy Spirit on them, and you can ask for his harvesters to come by them, but you can't change them. Only the heart, God can change that. And Thurman always said that, I think it's in Proverbs or Psalms, it says that the heart of the king, which is every person here and their family, is in the hand of the Lord, and he can change it whichever way he wants to make it go. So only God can convict people and change. And it's happened. Seen it. I mean, there was Mike Warnke. I don't know if you ever heard of Mike Warnke. He was here in Des Moines. He was a high priestess, talking about all the evil things he did. Horrible, horrible things. And one day, God got a hold of him. He became a godly person, going around telling them all about the cults and death threats on him and everything else. God can change him. There's a guy, Dark Angel. It was a book. He was an assassination. The mob. He went out and he killed people. He loved killing people. God got a hold of him. Somebody start praying for him. God, you can break down the strongholds, but God can't, you can't do anything with their hearts. They have to change it themselves. If they don't want to change it, well, that's between them and God when they die. And until then, it's their problem. So praise the Lord. We just come before you, Father. We thank you for this blessed time. We just thank you that we are a new creation, that we have covenant rights and privileges, and I ask, Father, that the foundation that you have set up will be established in each person, that the rights and privileges that you have given us, we will understand them, walk in them, and start to see tremendous things happening in this area. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless each one. Thank you for the picnic yesterday. For all the people that are there, bless each and every one. All those that are gone, those that are sick, just touch them, heal them. And Father, we just give you full glory, honor, and praise in all things. In the name of Jesus, amen.